What up, what up? Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. Today, we're going to talk about Comcast trying to steal away Fox and Dumbo, the new movies coming out, and also Wonder Woman 1984. We got a lot to discuss. Let's get right into it.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. Yes, we are in the building. This is Geek Nerd Tech, also known as GNT, where we discuss all the major news of technology and geek and nerd culture. I am your host, Akili Shine. This is my co-host, Joe Braswell.
DPGC!
DPG! West Coast, baby.
What's up?
How you living, man?
I'm good. I don't know, it sounds like a DJ Quick production, but it can't be DJ Quick. It's probably like...
This is like a Daz Dillinger.
It's like a Daz Dillinger.
Yeah, this is Dog Pound. But, Dog Food. The album.
Yeah,
classic. Yeah.
But I'm telling you that Quick and Daz Dillinger, they used to have the same sounds.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you gotta think that
it's that funk, like,
yeah, exactly.
Bing, that little.
And you gotta throw in dang, what's my man? Nate Dogg. Warren G. You gotta throw in Warren G in there too. Like, they all have a similar aesthetic.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, I mean, that's why they're part of the same family though.
Yeah. It's all sort of West Coast, Long Beach ish.
Man, those are my times, man. The early 90s, West Coast. Man, I was a Dog Pound fan, like, for real.
I mean, I was a little young for that.
Virgin ears.
I was a little young to be in that time. I was just a lad, single digits. But I heard it was good.
Oh, that's funny.
My pops just listened to it.
Yes, sir. That's funny. All right, well, we got a lot to discuss today. We're going to really, really zip right through it. Let's get right into it, man. Next year, the iPhone might be switching the Lightning connector to a USB-C.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, bro?
I think it's good. I think it's good. It's a weird thing where... iPhone, it's the first time iPhone has ever sort of complied to the rest of the world. I guess, in other words, they've been, everything with iPhone is their tech, their thing. Like no one else has a
proprietary.
No one else has a Lightning charger, that iPhone thing. No one else has, the stuff that they have. So the fact that they're using a USB-C is them sort of acknowledging that. Even Safari.
Unpack that. What does that mean, though? Being that they've never really done that, now they are. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just forward looking. I think looking to the future. I think in a world where they're going to have to compete, because as we've talked about, in the years past, the iPhone sales are flattening.
They are,
and I think they're flattening because the competition is just really good.
Yeah,
and one of the things that specifically the Google phones and things are going to make a play towards is the same way the PCs did back in the 80s and early 90s, where a PC was like, hey man, we run everything, we're cheaper, you can interchange them all, we're PCs.
Yeah.
Whereas Apples were Apples.
Right.
And that's the same thing that they did with the iPhone. So now I think they're leading to a world where when you see what Google's doing and some of the other, that Samsung is doing, that's the future. So they want to be able to have people to be able to interchange information, things, download that USB-C, it's right to your phone, all that exchange of information. I mean, that makes the most sense, because I think that's where the Google phones are going.
I agree with that.
Can I speak to that?
Oh, of 100%. Course. Let's hear from Marissa.
Hey, guys. It's Marissa in the booth. I personally like this idea because I have a newer Apple laptop that has the USB-C, but because everyone was still on the Lightning, and it's such a newer model and connector, I had to buy adapters and cords for everything, from my computer, from a USB to another USB to USB-C to C. It was such a hassle. So I think it's actually great that they are upgrading to USB-Cs. I mean, everyone once had to upgrade from the old clunky wide connector that Apple used to have to the Lightning, and I think people can now adapt from the Lightning to USB-C. So I think it's good. It's a good direction.
For sure. And that's a good point, Marissa, that the new laptops have gone USB-C. So I think this is the direction that they're trying to streamline everything they're doing here. So that makes sense.
I think it's pretty interesting because I feel like generally, you kind of alluded to it, Apple's position is to really, control everything, to control all their products, vertical integration. So they want to be able to have it all within the same ecosystem. And the fact that they're stepping outside of this is just an interesting play, because I feel like they create new industries every time they change the phone up. So it's like... new developers, new accessories, all that stuff. So it's like, in a way...
So many third-party...
Exactly.
What are you going to do when you go to Rite Aid and have to buy a Corey or 7-Eleven?
Exactly. So I feel that's a weird shift, but I wonder if they're going to deviate from that when they drop the new phone, or if it's going to be just USB-C for a while. But that's just interesting. And to your point that the market share of mobile devices, yeah, still dominated by Apple, but it is not like they're not smoking people like they once had. Like it's almost becoming neck and neck. Like we talk about the Google Pixel, we talk about different Android phones, like really like having the dope cameras and just really dope sophistication. I feel like Apple is going to be like really, really like suffocating in the next couple of years in terms of the competition.
It's inevitable. I mean, like, look, they had a giant head start and they had a full decade of leading.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before all of these other, you know, companies not only do what they do, but figure out how to do what they do as good or better.
But I feel they already do. I feel Apple watches them and just makes it look sexier. There's Android phones that are doing things that Apple phones can't do.
Sure. So
it's like, yeah. I don't think they're like ahead of the game. I feel like just watch, they wait, watch, and then they say, okay, we'll do a little better.
Yeah, because they have the luxury of brand affinity and brand loyalty. Samsung's building that, but, you know, Apple versus Samsung, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, do you want American product or do you want one of them foreign things?
Hey.
That's my invitation.
Foreign things.
I know what that is. That's my MAGA hat person.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about a brand that is really causing some storm and kicking up some dust, and that is 20th Century Fox. So 21st Century Fox. Correct. Yes. My bad. So we discussed this on the show almost about a year ago, where we talked about how Disney put in an offer to, you know, essentially acquire Fox. And we thought that pretty much was like in the bag. We were just waiting for them to be approved by the government. Mm-hmm. And then this week, Comcast said, hey, we've been talking like we were going to do this, but we actually said we actually made it happen. We put in an offer and it's $15 billion more than the Disney offer. What you going to do, Fox? What you going to do?
Well, exactly. Well, I tell you what. That's impressive.
15 B's more.
Cash.
Exactly.
Money.
Not stock.
I mean,
you hear
the term backing up the Brinks truck. Woo! Literally backing up the big Brinks truck. Like, that's impressive. I mean, first of all, you know, I don't want to say I know Comcast had it like that, because they do.
Right. ISP, baby.
I really feel, I'm of two minds of this. I do like, you know, Steve and I were talking about this. I guess if I had to, you know, Fox is going to be sold.
Yeah.
Would I rather have them be sold to Disney or Comcast? I guess it's probably Comcast. Now, I'm not a big fan of the Comcast sort of like corporate, the brain
not,
trust.
It's not a, whoa, I get what you're saying. It's not as sexy as well. It's not a sexy move.
No, it's not a sexy move. These guys are like Midwest, got the bow ties, the Comcast guys, but they pretty much have left Universal and NBC alone. They haven't come in and made everyone wear bow ties
They're keeping the culture.
Yeah, to that point, yeah, if they wanted to come in and buy Fox and keep the culture, then for all of our friends at Fox, it's probably good news.
It means they have more money.
Well, but it also means that for Fox,
they don't have to worry about the disruption.
Exactly. Because Disney's going to come in and make you wear mouse ears. Like,
right.
Comcast was coming in and it's like, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. In fact,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Make it better.
And so that's how I would think that the only thing that I just scare the crap out of me, though, is, yeah, one company owns Fox and NBC. One company owns, you know, Fox, 21st Century Fox Studios and Universal.
Yeah.
Like, that's scary. And then also, it's a cable company. And then with the teardown of net neutrality, thank you, Trump administration.
Yeah, slowing our speeds down.
Get ready, Netflix. 100%. When Comcast is like, ooh, Netflix, huh?
100%.
Kind of slow. I don't know if our net works over here with that. You want to try our streaming service, NBC streaming, or whatever.
Well, I gotta tell you this. In the deal, Comcast is bidding that to acquire the movie studio, 20th Century Fox, 20th Century Fox Television, and all the owned cable networks, FX, and National Geographic. And they'll also own Fox's stake in Hulu, which would give them Comcast the major percentage stake owner of Hulu. But also, man, they swagged out. Was like, you know what? Yeah, we know you have a deal with Disney. We will pay the $2.5 billion breakup fee.
Right.
In addition to that, we will also pay the $1.5 billion that you would owe Fox if you abandon the deal.
Damn.
So they're saying, we'll throw in an extra $5 billion just to say, hey,
we'll take care of that offer.
Shit.
You can't refuse. Like
that's swaggy in a letter.
It's swaggy. Because he's like, I want to do it, but God, I got to pay Disney like $4 billion just to do it. Like, don't worry about that. We got that. Like, ahead of time, I'm going to tell you already.
Right.
Like, you know, so that's that's swaggy. It's an offer you can't refuse.
I wonder if Disney's going to counter. They're going to be like, okay, you want to fuck with us? Well, hey, $100 billion.
Yeah, they're going to pull out the mouse. Like, mouse is going to come flexing. Yeah, you know, and the lightsabers, and the, you know, and what's my man's name? Ultron, I forget his name. Thanos. They all coming out.
Got the rings.
He's got the rings. He's coming up the gauntlet. Listen, I think what people are, you know, I don't know if we're going to talk about this, if we have time to talk about it, but the AT&T.
Yeah, let's get right into it. That was the next story.
Okay, well, that really is the thing that really paved the way for this and potentially other things.
That's right.
Because the ruling that, and I kind of did the rule in favor, the government would rule in favor of this because this is a pro-business government. This is an anti-regulation government.
That's right.
It's all about, like, we don't want to regulate. We want more business doing more business shit, more consolidation, you know, privatize everything. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't surprise me, but people said that because, you know, this involves CNN and Trump hates CNN, that he would try to block it. But that doesn't make any sense. So the reason why, because of the Time Warner, I'm talking about AT&T purchasing Time Warner and all of the Time Warner's assets, including HBO and everything else.
Warner Brothers
Studios, CNN, and then CW and CNN and Turner and all that stuff. And DC, and DC and Superman and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but what this does is that paves the way for people like Comcast. Like, exactly.
That's why they waited. They said, you know what, we're gonna play this game so smoothly.
If they let AT&T do that,
you can't say no to us. It's the same thing.
But it also opens a door to, which everyone else has been waiting for, including me, because I've been predicting this for 3 years. It also opens a door for the tech companies.
Yeah.
Because now Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook are like, check this out.
Okay, we could buy one too.
We need a studio. What's up, Viacom CBS?
Right.
You know, Paramount Pictures, how about Facebook Pictures?
I mean, the plausibility of that is pretty high.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I mean, it's literally like a domino effect. And like I said, Comcast was literally waiting in the wings for this to happen. Like, literally, the day that they announced the AT&T merger, the day after, they put in their offer. They already had the offer cooked, ready to go. They're just waiting to make sure they got passed. It would ensure their protection, you know what I'm saying?
To me, there is a 100% chance that Apple, for sure, possibly Google, and probably Facebook and Amazon will all have studios.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, so.
Well, I mean, Amazon already has a studio.
No, I mean, like a traditional. Like a lot. Like, we're getting Paramount and their entire library being back to 1910 and the lot. Yeah. And that water tower is going to be a big F on there.
I feel Amazon would be the first. This is my prediction.
Oh.
Out of all the tech companies, I believe Amazon would be probably the first one to spend the cash.
My money's on Apple.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be Sony or one of these. We're going to be driving down Motor, driving down. It's going to
Apple Pictures.
It's going to be the big Apple. there's only a matter of time before one of those water towers has an F, an A, or a G for Google. Like, watch. So we'll see. We'll see which one it is.
Well, hey, interesting times, man. Consolidation, big, huge titans coming together to be even bigger. All very interesting stuff. Another thing that's pretty interesting that I think all you lovers of podcasts out there is that Google is actually going to launch their own podcast app. Have you heard about this?
Yep.
This is pretty fantastic. What do you think?
I think it's great. I think it's great because I think that I'm a little late to the party, but this is just a further thing that kind of like what we've been talking about last year, that Google is looking at everything that Apple's doing and doing well and being like, we can do that. And we're just waiting for the day where...
Well, you got to slow down because actually Google had it before Apple had it.
Right.
Like I think a cool 6-7 years ago, 2012, they had their own thing and they closed it down because it wasn't working.
Right.
They didn't sustain it. They could have sustained it and grew it. But now, like you said, they've waited. They kind of done what Apple does in reverse. Let's watch and see what you do with this
For sure.
And do it better.
But Apple is credited for sort of like the proliferation of podcasts and podcasting through what they've done, you know, with the App Store and the Podcast Store and you know, and offering, you know, a billion podcasts. So the thing is, now that podcasts are everything and growing,
as we're doing
a podcast now on a podcast network.
That's right.
The idea of Google saying
ultimately. Like, Google. I mean, our podcast is on Google already.
Yeah, that's right. So I think this is sort of that larger picture where people like me and you, to a certain degree, you're begrudgingly, maybe I am, these Apple loyalists who have all Apple products. It just makes it easy to be like, you know what? I'm dumping everything. It's going all Google.
Yeah.
I'm going Google Mail, Google Docs.
Everything.
The Google phone. I'm going YouTube. I'm
100%.
Going to Google laptop. Because Google shit is already popping.
Yeah.
So what am I doing? I'm going Chrome. I'm just going to go Google. I'm already at Gmail.
Well, I don't
hardware, software.
I disagree with that.
Google
I disagree with the Google Life because I don't think it doesn't. Google doesn't express a lifestyle. Apple does. Apple expresses a way of living. It's like a way of thinking. Almost. Yep. It's almost like a philosophy. There's no philosophy for Google.
That is just a. advertising is just a Y&K hire away. Just give any hot ad agency 6 months.
Okay.
With working on the Google brand to change the brand affinity into something that's like Apple. I bet a year from now we'll be like, you know, Google.
No way.
You know, not taking away from what Apple's built, because you can't, because we're talking about 30 years of building this very specific sort of cool lifestyle.
You can't go from nerd to cool overnight.
You can't go from
nerd to cool overnight.
To a cool lifestyle.
No way. Not they're overnight. Trying. That's gonna take some time.
Google Assistant, like they're really, really trying. Like everything, whatever, because they want to be in a position to say, what do you like about Apple? I love their this. We got that. But I really love their operating. We got that too. I love their phone. We got a phone, you know? That's coming. That day will be here in 2019. And then
2019? Oh, definitely not.
No. The day that will be in 2019 where they have one for one everything. Now the question is, when will you make the switch?
I don't think that it'll be like a switch.
I think it'll continue to be integrated.
I feel like we'll streamline stuff. Like you'll have your favorite product based on whatever it is. Like for your computer, it might be to the Apple. For your watch, it might be something else.
Yeah, but that's because Google is smart enough, and just like Microsoft was smart enough to still say, hey, we're still gonna play with you, Apple. Like we're not gonna be like Flash, like Flash was. You want to Google something? You Google the primary way of doing things on an iPhone is Google.
Yeah.
The primary thing of viewing and searching anything is Google. The primary thing of viewing any videos is YouTube.
Yeah.
So, you know, but so Mark Zuckerberg, same thing. Like, you know, Facebook and Instagram and Google, they all happen through Apple.
What they have is great, but they don't have sexy. And
right.
Sexy takes time to when you talk about the biggest company in the world,
right?
Like, yo, you're not gonna topple that. You're not gonna topple that sexy effect.
You're not. But what's gonna happen though if Google decides, you know, we've got this phone for 4 years, it's looking good. We've got the computer for 3 years, everything ready to go. I'm just gonna no more Google on iPhones. You can only Google stuff on the Google phone. Apple, get your own search engine.
I don't think they'll do that.
iSearch.
Okay, sure.
Launch that. See how long that takes you to get going.
What you're saying is pretty similar to like what's happening in the footwear industry. When you look at how Adidas has toppled Nike, obviously for the last 35 years, Nike's been on top, right? Yeah. And now since Kanye, you know, the last 5 years, Adidas is on top in terms of sales and in terms of like cultural influence. But the point is that it took some time for that to evolve. They didn't happen overnight, and they needed a key figure to be able to do that. I don't see that. What's the key figure with Google? You know what I'm saying? What is it? Has to be a key product that's just beautifully made, design that's just gonna blow our minds.
One word: Yeezy Mail.
Oh, that's
Yeezy
funny.
Tube.
All right, well, we got about 5 more minutes to knock out a few stories with our geek and nerd culture.
Yeah.
So we're going to just really go through this, man. A lot of cool stuff happening. I know we were talking offline and we covered this story last week, but give me your quick like 30-second take of Ocean's 8. Go.
30 seconds, good movie, straightforward, pretty much a direct one-to-one rip of Ocean's 11. Soderbergh, you think Soderbergh directed it? Like they just lifted the entire style, including the soundtrack, including some of the jazz bass heavy sort of soundtrack, the transitions. It's all sort of all things that Soderbergh laid out. It's Ocean's 11 with women, and I'm not bringing any rules here, any news. It's straight. It only has time to introduce the characters, to tell you what the heist is, to perform the heist, and then roll credits.
Really?
So that's all you have time for. There's no extra anything. But I will say, all those ladies, just like Ocean's 11, those 9 ladies are great to spend time with. I want to spend time with all of them. So in that sense, it's fun.
And I mean, it generated a sizable amount at the box office.
It's fun. I mean, nothing happens in that movie. You know, but kind of like listen to some bass lines and transitions and some you know, hot women,
So then, no like cool tech or cool cinematography, something that's like really, I mean, aside from the storyline, what else was like
it is a under? It is a, if you told me Steven Soderbergh did this movie under a pseudonym, I would be like, of course.
Okay.
But even then, it's so like,
has
he it,
has his
himself.
DNA, huh?
It
strongly,
is.
Strongly pulled from his DNA?
There's not one thing fresh that the editor or the director does in this movie. Not one fresh thing. Like they're purposefully, we're going to copy stylistically what the tone that he set in these three movies, particularly the first movie.
So, I mean, is it a thumbs up or is it?
Like, it's a thumbs up because because you can't not. It's like Ocean's 11. You can't not go in there with all these likable guys
and not have fun
It, right? And you, just like this, you can't go in there with all these likable women and beautiful and strong and have them do this shit and not have fun. It's impossible to do.
I mean, it is well done. The whole ensemble element. I mean, like you said, like I feel, how can you really mess that up? You have all these favorable actresses and characters that we've all loved over the years, all interacting on the screen. Right. Like that alone is just something to see. So,
well, one last thing I'll say about this. Now, this is something that like I've known and like we've all known. It's a no brainer, but she's been gone for a minute. Sandra Bullock is just a stone cold movie star.
Yeah,
like she's the truth. Whenever she shows up doing anything, even to this day,
the believability.
It's like, of course. I mean, but it's just like she's a almost like the way Julia Roberts is to or used to
presence.
Be.
She has a good presence.
She just shows up. You're like, oh, of course. Yeah. Well, this movie's in good hands.
That's why
in a way, Clooney does.
Why they get paid the big bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one company that's getting paid the big bucks, and that is the company that has developed Fortnite. 125 million players built in just 1 year after launch, my man. That is an incredible figure and number, and like literally a culture shifter. Have you played it?
No, I have not, because I know the way these shooters work. Once you're behind the curve, like my thing on shooters are, if you don't put in that time. Like back in the Halo days, if you're not in there to be able to put in the
you're
time,
get your ass whooped.
You just get an ass whooped because there's so many kids
that are doing like 12 hours a day.
Minimum 12 hours a day for like 3 months straight. So by the time you get now, you're a year in. It's by like, the time you get in there, it's like generated. Pow!
Exactly.
Stepping up, bam!
Wait, I just literally like fun. Just walk two steps.
Yeah, two steps and I'm getting like killed, blown up. So that's my fear. And I wish there was sort of like a way I can ease myself into that, but I don't. I'm afraid. Would love to play
40 million people play the game.
Have you played it yet?
I have not. Yeah. I have not. You know, I'm not really a big gamer. I mean, I love like learning about the games, but in terms of the time to invest in, I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
But 40 million people have the time. 40 million people play the game at once.
Now, is this a new? This is incredible because is this a new? I don't know much enough about this. And E3 is happening right now too. But like, is this a new engine they built this on? Is this built on one of those old like Steam like or one of those old engines that? Because it feels like. I know, because they had them coming up with this whole new engine that people play on that happens through mobile phone. In of itself, is innovative like crazy. Like, how do they even do that?
I mean, but I think we've been in that sphere of technology for a while.
We have.
I feel like because of the, I mean, mobile gaming is arguably larger than just console gaming.
It
you know
is,
what I'm saying?
But so no one's done a multiplayer. No one's.
But that's what I'm
no
saying. Like, I feel the technology is ripe and prime for that. So someone came along with the idea, like, hey, bring this idea that we've had on consoles to the mobile world.
And frankly, the speed has not had.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, the technology. Even on LTE, it's fast enough.
That's right.
To be able to do that. In the past, you couldn't do it on 3G. You know, or 4G even. You couldn't do it.
Yeah, so. Now we're moving into 5G.
Yeah.
Hey, but an amazing record-breaking year for that game. And, another amazing
I'm
going
to get it, though.
I'm going to get it?
Yeah. Last thing I'll say is the other reason I don't play is I just know that it's a lot about accumulation and, like, building up stuff and buying stuff and guns and building stuff.
Gotta invest your time.
Da, da, da. Like, that's by the time I'm doing all
it's
that.
It's like a part of your life.
Yeah.
That's a lot to do.
As I told you, I broke out my two games from Christmas, the Battlefield 2 and Call of Duty World War 2.
Right, right.
And
just time warp, huh?
I mean, I'm just, it's Christmas I got these. I broke them out a month ago, and I'm just deep in them, and that's a long
and E3's right now.
I mean,
the new one's coming out.
I can only handle two games a year.
Man.
I'm really handling one right now.
It's crazy.
I haven't even got to Call of Duty yet.
Well, this is our last story of the day. A pretty interesting story. I love this story. Essentially, it's bringing a programming gaming developing company, Telltale, together with Netflix. And so, Stranger Things... before season 2 came out, maybe like a year or so ago, they announced that they're going to make a video game. Mm-hmm. But they said they were going to, you know, release it when season 2 was released, but that didn't happen because it was still buggy. But now it's finally coming to market, the Stranger things to video games. So Telltale has done Walking Dead. They've done a few other like big property games. I think Game of Thrones. And yeah, this is dope. But in the inverse of it is that Netflix is taking a game from Telltale and making a television show off of it, Minecraft, right?
Right.
So it's like, man, like we've never seen this type of interactivity before where we have a platform, you know, taking a property and making it television and a video game, taking a property and making it, taking a television property and making it a video game.
Yeah, this is the future. I mean, this was a meeting yesterday, and the guys in the meeting with them were talking about, yeah, we're in business with a couple of world builders.
Man.
And I was like, world builders? Yeah, these guys, they were at Hasbro, and they created, you know, they built out the Transformers universe, and they built this other universe, and now they built this whole other universe. Like, their whole thing is, like, they're building out a universe so that you can make toys and video games and license movies and make comic books. Like, and that's the future. Like, that guy who Netflix just did the big deal with, who did all the Kingsman comics and did all those comics. Like, hey, we want you to just create a bunch of original stuff for Netflix, and then you can make comics off of those and video games off of those. But do your world building on our playground.
It's crazy.
Instead of don't do it in the comic books.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening. We're looking around for world builders. Like, hey, don't do it on video games.
Yeah.
Do it here, and then do the video game on the side. And right. Do the comic book on the side. So that's kind of where it's at right now, and it's amazing. So I don't know, man. Like, the idea of a world builder.
Yeah.
You know, but you look in the era of the Marvel Universe, the Game of Thrones universe.
You need a new world.
You know, Universal tried to launch this monster. Universe.
Good luck.
You know,
I just saw The Mummy actually like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty bad, but man,
it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Tom Cruise, but
it's just derivative.
Yeah, but anyway, like the world building philosophy and strategy, that's just interesting because like you were just kind of alluding to, like you already have these universes that have this long history in the comics, on television,
Lord of the
in
Rings,
the movies,
you know, Tolkien.
But to create something entirely unique and new for your platform,
right,
that you have millions of subscribers already built in. Now you just create something that's just gonna like keep them there even more. That's just genius to me.
Yeah.
And then they have the video game. It's just genius.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Well, the universal version of that is really an example how hard it is, because you can't just hire a bunch of stars and then be like, we're rolling out the monsters, get ready world for video games and comic books and TV shows, because no one really cared. The Mummy was a bad start.
Man.
So we'll see what happens with Frankenstein or Jekyll and Hyde or Dracula or any of the other ones.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
They're already signed. You got Harvey Abraham. You got Russell Crowe. You got Johnny Depp.
I didn't like Russell Crowe in The Mummy. It was like whatever.
He's already signed to be Dr. Jekyll for a movie.
I know.
You watching that one?
I don't think so.
Johnny Depp, it didn't move me.
Johnny
Depp and the Invisible Man. You're not signing up for that one. Bart Dibb is Frankenstein. Like,
I'll tell you what I am signing up for, and that is Wonder Woman 1984.
Yes,
looking pretty fresh. And they dropped the Easter egg with Chris Pine.
Oh, I didn't know.
Allegedly is in the movie, and he's the same age he was in Wonder Woman.
Oh, so they figured out a way
to bring him back to life, or he didn't die, or something. Who knows?
Yep.
But
well,
they
did this with the TV show, famously the 70s TV show, and this for the comic book too. But I think the 70s TV show started in World War II. And then by the last three seasons, they were in the 80s. And Steve Trevor was like just a strapping, you know, CIA dude before he was. So they figured it out. So I don't know.
All right.
They've clearly used that same story. I should know this because I'm a DC guy and I'm a nerd, but I have no idea what the storyline is to get them from World War II
to 1984.
I'm assuming she's an Amazon. She doesn't age.
But yeah, she doesn't age.
I don't know.
I mean, she's a demigod.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I don't know whatever else.
Hey, well, I'm excited for it. Wonder Woman is obviously their leading property and with DC. So it has to be, you know, some momentum behind that and going into this one. So I'm excited to look forward to that. But are you jumping up and down for Aquaman? Or are you like, whatever?
I'm somewhere between, I'm not jumping up and down.
Really?
But I'm somewhere between whatever and like very, because I ride for DC, I ride for, you know, these things. I'm just not super, because I'm, you know, I'm a heterosexual male, I'm not super in love with the Momoa Aquaman.
you're a hater, bro.
I'm not a hater. I'm just not in love with the super mega, like, hair flipping, you know, like, slow motion walking, Jack Daniels drinking, like every other woman I know is like, but like, I just, yeah, that I'm not like, you know,
Marissa,
like
what do you have to say?
Marissa, I know you're probably signing up, but I don't know.
I mean, I don't really know Jason Momoa and his acting work. I know he's big in Game of Thrones and this. I thought he was okay in the first movie.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping for joy to or like rushing to the theater to see this one either. So.
I do like that. Like Momoa has a definite sort of like brown ethnicity sort of vibe to him, which I do like, as opposed to the blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, Arthur, you know, the Aquaman we know. But the part of me kind of does, the nostalgic part of me kind of wants to see that Aquaman.
All I can say is hate. Hate. Oh, man. Hate.
Oh, man.
So wait, so help me understand this.
Yes.
So you could be excited for a character like Thor.
Yeah.
But you can't be excited for a character like Aquaman.
No, let me unpack it.
Okay, please,
it's
please.
Not just a Momoa walking in slow motion drinking Jack Daniels. Like, hey, bro. What's the line in the, like, my man. Wow. All that stuff. I'm like, oh, no. But it's really just the effect. Like, him swimming around. Like, the stuff when he got to, like, him undersea and him swimming around and him with Amber Heard. And just the way they were doing that, the underwater stuff, I was like, uh-oh. So I watch a whole movie of them and him like floating around and like going 1,000 miles an hour and talking to fish. And I don't know. I want it to be good. Like, I actually know someone, a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, and you know him too, who worked on that movie, did some voice work for that movie. And he came in and did ADR, and he watched a lot of it. He came in and watched a lot of it, and he was like, a lot of it's all, and we watched it was mostly green screen and weirdness, but he was like, I don't know what's going to happen, because it looks like it's either going to be the coolest, like it's going to be like Avatar, coolest thing you've ever seen, or it's going to be a disaster.
Man, I mean.
Because it's so heavily, like.
Yeah, the water, all the water sequences.
Yeah, and they're really leaning heavily on building this world out exactly. And everything. And so what he's watching a bunch of green screen.
On comp stuff.
Green screen, people on wires and green screen.
Right.
And he's like, all right, well, they're spending a shitload of money.
I think it's going to be a smasher. That's where I put my money. It's going to be a smasher. I think a smasher, though? Yes. I mean, well, okay, let me put that in context. A smasher as it relates to the DC universe. Right. I don't know if it'll be a smasher as it relates to everything else that's out that's been, like, breaking records. But I think in terms of, like, we talk about Batman and Superman and just the barrage of all these movies that have come out that have kind of been hit or miss, I feel like it's going to be close to where Wonder Woman is.
I think if anything is going to live and die on the trailer. If anything is going to live and die on the trailer, it's going to be this movie. We'll find out on Comic-Con this summer.
Woo!
But man, like, this trailer needs to be...
Fire.
It needs to be cool.
Well, yeah. Because I said the wrong word.
Yeah, because if it's...
It needs to be wet.
If it's anything but, like, the most cynical of cynical DC nerds are already walking like me, already walking with their arms folded, and the Marvel dudes are like, Aquaman's already a dumbass character. Like, how you gonna make this dude cool? And then you got Jason Momoa, okay. He's almost already a joke in of himself. So he's got to... The trailer's got to be dope.
Hey.
And I don't know that it can be.
Hey, ramp up. Aquaman. Let's go, Aquaman.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway.
We'll see.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
We hope you guys enjoyed the show. Joe, where can they find you?
On Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell.
Yes. And they can find me also on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. Marissa, thank you very much for holding this down. And for all you guys listening to us and watching us out there, we appreciate the support. And we will see you and rock with you next week.
Yes, sir.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.